Well, this morning, we are, what a great way to celebrate Easter as we witness four of those. There's another one going to come later in the service. It's awesome. This morning, we are in the last week of a series that we've called I Am Jesus. And before we get to that, I want to kind of promo what's coming next week, because as we are at the end, we're going to start a new series next week. And it's called Five Dumb Things That Smart Christians Believe. And we're going to kind of look at some spiritual urban legends, some things that sound good, maybe you've always heard, or, you know, your grandma said and you thought was in the Bible, but it's not really, things that could cause trouble if we don't understand what the Bible actually says. Things like faith can fix anything, or everything happens for a reason, or Christians shouldn't judge, or a godly home guarantees godly kids. Things like that. And we're going to look at those, and I'm excited about that. So if you're here this week, which all of you happen to be, well done. I'd encourage you to come back next week as we start that series. This morning, as I said, we're finishing up our series called I Am Jesus, where we've been looking through the book of John to look at some of the I Am statements that Jesus made. These are statements that Jesus just declaredly said, I am, and then he filled in the blank with several different things, and we've been looking at them. We looked first at when Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Then we looked at, and we said, I am the good shepherd. And then last week we looked at where he said, I am the vine and you are the branches, and the importance of being connected with him. And maybe you've heard some of those statements of Jesus before. But today we kind of saved the most dramatic of Jesus' declarations, of his I am statements, for last. And that is found in the book of John, chapter 11, verse 25. If you've got your Bibles, you can open to John chapter 11, or if you get there on your electronic device, however you get there, thumb to that, either this way or this way, and get to John chapter 11. We're going to be looking at that, the complete story, just in a minute, but beginning in verse 25, where Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, even though will live, even though he dies. Now, Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. And we all know what resurrection is, right? Resurrection is when something dead comes back to life. In fact, that's why what we celebrate on Easter, it's the celebration of Jesus being dead and coming back to life. That's what resurrection is. But Jesus actually made this statement, this declaration about himself, not in the context of his own resurrection. He actually made it in the context of a different guy who died and didn't stay dead. That guy's name was Lazarus. And in the context of his story, we're going to look at how, even though Lazarus is physically dead, we're going to see how some things that in the other characters involved in that story, and how it sometimes is with us too, how things can sometimes die on the inside of us. And we're going to see, kind of as the bottom line, is that Jesus brings dead things to life. Okay, so in case you fall asleep or zone out or have to leave early, I'm cutting straight to the chase, all right? If you're filling in your blanks, the bottom line for today is that Jesus brings dead things to life. Now, if you are old like me or older than me, you might remember the General Electric jingle that they did for years and years, actually, that was GE, we bring good things to life. Some of you remember that. Well, Jesus is saying something like that, but it goes way above and beyond. GE was saying, hey, if you've got something electric, you know, you can plug it in and we'll bring good things to life in your life. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Jesus doesn't bring good things to life. Jesus brings dead things to life. And that's a whole different story, and that's what we're going to look at today. The story of Lazarus starts in John chapter 11, the very first verse, and it begins this way. Now, a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. And so the sisters sent word to Jesus, Lord, the one you love is sick. Lord, the one you love is sick. Jesus is just kind of going about his ministry, you know, just teaching. And all of a sudden he gets bad news into his everyday life. Lord, the one you love is sick. My guess is that many of you, maybe all of you, have been going about your daily life and you got bad news dropped into it. Maybe it was this exact same bad news. The one you love is sick. Maybe it was a call from a doctor or a call from a husband or a wife or a mom or a dad. The one that you love is sick. Maybe it's the job that you love is going away. That was just kind of dropped into your lap. Maybe the marriage that you always dreamed of had turned into a nightmare. Maybe the principal called to talk about your teenage child and it wasn't to tell you that they got on the honor roll. Okay? Bad news in your everyday life. Well, this is kind of what happened to Jesus. Jesus, the one you love, is sick. Verse 4, it goes on. When he heard this, Jesus said, "This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." So God's saying, or Jesus is saying, this is not going to end in death. That sounds good, right? But God's going to bring glory through something that's really bad. He's going to bring glory to himself and glory to Jesus. Verse 5 continues. Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. It was all one family. Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So, when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he immediately went to heal his friend. Not. Now, that's how it should go. That's how we would assume the story was going. And maybe if you've never heard this story, you would just automatically assume that's right. Because Jesus has already said, he got word that his friend was sick. He's already said this is not going to end in death, and people are seeing him heal people all the time, and so they knew the routine. All right? The narrative tells us that Jesus loved these people, and so as soon as he heard, he immediately went to heal them. That just makes sense. Unfortunately, that's not how the story goes. If you take a look at what it actually says, it says, "So, when he heard Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. That doesn't sound like something Jesus would do. That doesn't sound like something we would do. It doesn't sound like that's the right way that the story should go. But in fact, that's what it says. He stayed where he was 2 more days, and then he said to his disciples, "Let us go back to Judea," which is where Bethany was, where Lazarus was. Now, maybe this is the one thing that you came that you needed to hear this morning, and you just needed me to hear say this. If God is not acting immediately on something, if God is not doing things the way you think he should be doing, I don't know why that is, but I know why it's not. It's not because he doesn't love you. Okay? This makes it very clear. Jesus loved Lazarus and Mary and Martha, but he still waited, stayed where he was 2 days, didn't do what they had asked him to do. Didn't mean he didn't love them. He goes on, and he says, okay, now let's go to Judea after 2 days. But there's a problem with that, and his disciples are quick to point it out. Verse 8. "But Rabbi," they said, "a short while ago the Jews there tried to stone you, and yet you're going back?" You see, the last time Jesus was in that area, he kind of caused a little bit of a ruckus. All right. Actually, the last several times he had been in that area, he caused kind of a ruckus. The religious leaders, the political leaders, everyone didn't like him. In fact, the last time he was there, the religious leaders tried to stone him, all right, and not with drugs, okay, but like with rocks, all right. They tried to kill him. They had sworn out a death warrant for him. This was common knowledge. Jesus had kind of been hanging low, and his disciples are saying, hey, whoa, whoa, okay, that's good. Lazarus, all we know. But remember, the last time we went there, it didn't go so well. Are you sure you want to go? Jesus kind of explains, verse 11. "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I'm going there to wake him up." His disciples replied, "Lord, if he sleeps, he'll get better." But, of course, Jesus had been speaking of his death. But his disciples thought he meant natural sleep. See, the disciples were a little bit slow on the uptake. They didn't always get what he was talking about. Kind of like me and kind of like you. We don't understand always what Jesus is talking about. Jesus said he was asleep. They say, oh, good. He was sick. Now he'll get better. But Jesus had been speaking of his death. The disciples thought he meant natural sleep. So, verse 14, he told them plainly, Lazarus is dead. All right? He ain't asleep. He's dead. And he said, "For your sake, I'm glad that I wasn't there so that you may believe. But let us go to him." All right, so there's the scenario. Jesus is ministering. He gets word that his good friend is sick, stays where he is, and allows Lazarus to die. Nobody else knew that part of the story, but Jesus already knew that was the case. In fact, then he told his disciples, "Yes, I know it's dangerous. Yes, I know he's already dead, but we're going to go anyway." Okay? Didn't make sense from their perspective. Now, Lazarus was physically dead. Jesus already told us that. But as we are going to look and see as the story unfolds, we're going to look kind of briefly at three areas, maybe three dead ends that some of the characters in the story were faced with. And I think it's some of the same dead ends that we are faced with that cause maybe us not to die on the outside, but for us to die on the inside, that causes our faith, that causes our heart and our spirit to die. And maybe you can relate to one of these three characters in the story. The first one, the first dead end, is seen by the character Thomas, and that is to be dead in your doubt, right? To be dead in your doubt. Verse 16 says, then Thomas, also called Didymus. Now, Thomas, this is the same Thomas that if you've ever been to church or grew up in Sunday school, you know him as not just Thomas, but you know him as Doubting Thomas. That's right, because after Jesus' resurrection, he was not there when Jesus first appeared to the disciples. And so he said, if I don't see it, I ain't believing it. All right. And so he got that nickname of Doubting Thomas. And here he is saying something that's actually very courageous, but it also shows a little bit of doubt as well. Then Thomas, also known as Didymus, said to the rest of the disciples, let us also go that we may die with him. He was courageous, but he was doubting. It was kind of the Eeyore version, all right? It's like, okay, we may as well go with him. It ain't going to go well. We're all going to die. But, hey, let's go die with him, all right? Courageous, yes, but doubtful. He didn't think anything good could happen from the situation. He was doubting. Now, let me just ask you, have you ever had spiritual doubts? Anybody, spiritual doubts? Okay, those of you who haven't, those perfect people can polish their halo for a minute, and I'll talk to the rest of us, all right? For the rest of us, I mean, have you ever had spiritual doubts? You know, you prayed for something, and it didn't happen, or at least it didn't happen the way you wanted it to. I mean, you thought God could, and you knew that He could, and you thought that He would, but He didn't. And you had those doubts sneak in. Maybe you thought you really heard from God about something, and so you stepped out and you did it, but then everything just kind of fell apart, and it didn't go at all well, and you think, God, did I miss something? And you have those spiritual doubts. Or maybe you always believed growing up, you know, and you were brought up in the church, and then you went off to college your freshman year and had some professor, you know, just kind of say, if you believe in anything of that Christian stuff, you're stupid, and that stuff never happened, and your faith was shaken a little bit. Or maybe this whole Easter thing kind of caused you to have some doubts. I mean, a dead guy coming back to life? I mean, seriously? I mean, who believes that? Nobody dies and then comes back to life. Dead people stay dead, right? And that's right. In fact, if you are thinking along those lines, you have some good company, because the disciples, Jesus' closest friends, didn't actually believe it when it happened. Okay, and they weren't expecting him to do anything in this case. As the story is going to show us, they weren't expecting anything to happen because they knew, just like you knew, they're not stupid. You're not stupid. You know dead people stay dead. Dead people don't come back to life. And so if you're having some of those doubts, you're in good company. It's okay. The second way we could be have some issues of being dead is to be dead in your discouragement. You might be dead in your doubts, but you also might just be dead in your discouragement. This is kind of encapsulated by the character of Mary in the story. Verse 20 says this, when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. Martha went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. She was discouraged. It's like, oh, what's the use? I mean, what can happen now? He's already dead. What good can happen? Why bother? And maybe that explains and describes where some of you are this morning. I can't change. My marriage is never going to get any better. She's never going to really love me. He's never going to really love me. What's the use? What's the difference? My job's never going to get any better. I'm always going to be a lousy parent. I'm always going to be a terrible student. My financial situation will never get any better. What's the use? And you're just dead in your discouragement. Now, of course, you won't show it today because it's Easter and we're all dressed in our, you know, pretty clothes and everything. And so we're all smiling. And you might even, you know, adopt some of the Christian language, you know. And so people ask how you are. Oh, fine, fine, fine. You know, we're fine. Everybody's fine. And then, you know, if you really want to kind of overdo it, you might want to throw in, you know, some, you know, glory, hallelujah, you know, and then you realize we don't really talk like that around here. And then you get even more discouraged because you feel silly for having, you know, talk like that or whatever. But even though we don't show it on the outside, some of us on the inside, we're kind of dying in our discouragement. Maybe that's where you find yourself this morning. Others may be like Martha, who found herself dead in the delay. You might be dead in your doubt or dead in your discouragement, or like Martha, dead in your delay. That is, God was just taking too long. Have you ever thought that? It's like, God, would you just hurry up and get on with it already? And that's what Martha was saying. Look at verse 21. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Lord, if you would have been here, my brother would not have died. You have prayed that prayer. Maybe not that specific prayer, but you prayed very close to that prayer. God, if you would have just shown up, this wouldn't have happened. God, if you would have just answered this the way I asked, my life wouldn't be like it is. God, if you would have just shown up at the right time when I asked you, things wouldn't go, wouldn't have gone the way they are, and I wouldn't be in the mess that I'm in. Some of you have prayed that prayer.
and things didn't go exactly like you thought or in the time frame that you would have liked it to be, because we find in verse 17, it says, on his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Right? That's significant. 4 days, it's a long time when you're watching somebody, and if you've mourned someone that you've loved, you understand what those days are like. Those are long days. But it was especially significant, too, because the folklore and superstition of that time in the first century said that the spirit of a dead person kind of hung around their body for about 3 days, all right, just to make sure nothing weird was going to happen, all right, and they didn't need to come back in. But everybody, now that's not what the Bible said, and that's not what really happened. That was just kind of superstition of the day. So after 4 days, all right, everybody understood. I mean, any Princess Bride fans out there, he wasn't just mostly dead. Okay? He was all dead, all right? He was all dead. 4 days, everybody understood he was all dead. And so he was dead because Jesus delayed. Martha's faith, however, though, was also dead in the delay. Maybe you're feeling like that this morning. You're a young lady and you've always wanted to get married, and all your friends seem to be getting married, and they've got their dates picked out. You know, it's in June and you've been invited to the weddings, but you know, you're trying to do things right, and you've been praying for the husband. You're not going out in the clubs and you're not sleeping around, but it just doesn't seem like that right guy is coming your way, and you feel a little dead in the delay. Or maybe you've been praying for someone to come to know Christ, or you've been praying for someone to get well, and it just doesn't seem like God is listening, and it doesn't seem like anything is happening, and your faith is kind of discouraged and is dying a little bit in the delay. Maybe that's how you feel this morning. If that's how you feel this morning, one thing is you're filling in the blanks that this story can tell us, and really the whole of Scripture can tell us, is that God's delays are not always God's denials. God's delays are not always God's denials. Just because he hasn't done anything yet doesn't mean he's not going to do anything. God's delays are not always God's denials. I love the next verse, and Martha says in verse 22, she's just after she said, if you'd have only been here, Lord, my brother wouldn't have died. And then she adds this. I can sympathize with her. I think she's just like a regular church person. She knows the right thing to say, but she's not quite sure she believes it or even what it means. Listen to what she says. If you'd have been here, he wouldn't have died. But I know that even now, God will give you whatever you ask. That sounds really hopeful. That sounds really faith-filled. What she said was absolutely true, but she didn't believe it. Right? She knew it was probably the right thing to say. And basically, she was saying, all right, Jesus, I know if you'd have been here, things would have turned out different, but I'm not mad at you. All right, I'm not mad at you. I like you anyway. We can still be friends. Okay, that's kind of what she was saying. But she, in saying it, she said a truth that was profound, and she didn't even realize. We know she didn't realize what she was talking about because of how she responded to the rest of the story that we'll see here in a little bit. But the reality of what she said was absolutely true. I know even now, even after things seem hopeless, even now, something good can happen. Even now. Some of you this morning need to have an even now moment. Even now. Even with your marriage, what seems to be hopeless, you need to have an even now moment. Even now in your loneliness, that God could bring life to you. Even now, in your what seems like your hopeless situation, God can breathe life into a what seems like a dead or a lifeless, hopeless situation. Even now, in the midst of your broken family, God can put the pieces back together. Even now, with your cold and calloused heart, God can begin to soften your heart and begin to work on you a little bit. I've heard other preachers talk about the resurrection and both this story, and they would talk about it this way. I've heard more than one of them say it. It's like, I was on page 1043, and all these bad things happened. People were dead in their doubts, and they were dead in their discouragement. And, you know, Lazarus was dead in the tomb, and Jesus was dead in the tomb. And then I turned the page, and everything changed. Jesus showed up, and the resurrection showed up, and Jesus brought dead things. And I thought, that is just really cool. And so I looked at my Bible, and it all happened on the very same page. It's all right there in the middle of the page. And I thought, oh, this would be dramatic. Why? Just say, oh, yeah, turn the page and everything happens. And I was going to just lie to you and say that's how it was. But then I thought somebody would come up here and look at my Bible and realize it didn't. But figuratively speaking, all right, some of us need to turn the page, right? That we can be dead in our doubts and dead in our discouragement, dead in the delay waiting for God on one page. But even now, to turn the page and see what that the story is not over, that Jesus is the resurrection and the life, and he brings dead things to life even now. And some of you need to have an even now moment this morning. The story continues. Jesus said to Martha, "Your brother will rise again." And Martha answered, I know he'll rise again in the resurrection of the last day. You see, she was a church-going person. She understood that, you know, that the good people went to heaven at the end and the bad people went to hell. And she understood all that. She was a good Jew. She knew that, yeah, in the end, there was going to be a resurrection. That's not what Jesus was talking about. Martha said, "Yeah, I know he'll rise again in the resurrection of the last day." But Jesus said to her, and here's his declaration, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die." And then he asked her the piercing question, actually the question that everybody has to answer at some point in your life. Do you believe this? He said, "I am the resurrection and the life. Do you believe this?" See, it's interesting the way Jesus said that. He said he was the resurrection. That leads us to our key thought. The resurrection is not just an event, it's a person. The resurrection is not just an event that happened one time on that first Easter Sunday. It certainly was that, but Jesus said it's not only that. He said, "I am." Not "I am able to resurrect," not "I am able to bring Lazarus back to life." Spoiler, that's what happens, okay? If you don't know the story, spoiler alert, that's about to happen. He doesn't just say, "I am able to resurrect." He said, "I am the resurrection." It's not just what he did, it's who he was. Because dead things don't stay dead around Jesus. He is the resurrection and the life. Jesus brings dead things to life. Let's continue reading the story. Verse 38. It continues this. He says, "Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance." It was a tomb just like you've probably seen in the pictures of Jesus' resurrection. It was just like they buried everybody there. That was kind of the common thing. It was a big cave. They would have a big round rock that would roll away, and they'd put one dead body in. They'd roll the stone back in. Then when somebody else died, they'd roll the stone away, and they'd put somebody else in. And each tomb would hold several different dead people. And so this was the exact same case. It was just like what Jesus was buried in. It's what Lazarus was buried in. So Jesus says, "Take away the stone," he said. "But Lord," Martha said, the sister of the dead man said, "by this time there is a bad odor, because he has been in there 4 days. I love the way the King James Version translates this. Maybe you grew up with the King James Version. It says, "But Lord, by this time he stinketh." Right? This time he stinketh. You understand stinketh, right? I mean, sometimes that's just the right word. You've that trash bag that just was sitting out in the sun, and that stinketh, all right? Maybe you have a teenage son, and you've been to his room, all right? That stinketh, okay? We understand stinketh. Jesus, or Mary, Martha said, "But Lord, by this time he stinketh." He's been in there for 4 days. You don't understand. This is how we know she had no clue what she was talking about before when she said, "Even now, God will give you anything she asks." She was not expecting a resurrection. She was expecting stink. All right. She was expecting that stone to roll away and for them to be overwhelmed by the smell because he'd been there 4 days. Then Jesus said, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. And Jesus looked up and said, in one of the shortest prayers, he said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of those people standing there, that they believe that you sent me." It's like Jesus already knew what was going to happen, and he's getting ready to raise this guy from the dead, and it's like a really short prayer. It's like, "Okay, God, we're good, right? I'm just saying this so everybody knows we're good, and that I'm doing this, and that you're with me, and okay, let's do it." All right? He's about ready to raise somebody from the dead. He prays a one-sentence prayer. Okay, so if you're ever wondering about length of prayers, the length is not what gets it, all right? It's the relationship with the one whom you're speaking with. And so he said, "I'm glad that they hear this," etc. So when he said this, verse 43, Jesus called out in a loud voice. Why a loud voice? I don't know, maybe dead people don't hear so good, all right? But he called out in a loud voice, and he said, "Lazarus, come out." And the dead man came out with his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. And Jesus said to them, "Take off the grave clothes and let him go." I love the way Tommy Oakes, a preacher, talks about this. He says, the reason, we don't know why he said it loud, but we know why he called Lazarus by name. Because there's other dead people in there, all right? He's specifying, all right? He says, Lazarus comes out, because if he just says, come out, everybody's coming, all right? That's the power of the resurrection. That is the power that Jesus had over death, because Jesus, see, is the resurrection and the life. When the resurrection walks in the room, when the resurrection calls you out from death, you come. And he specified so that it would be Lazarus that came. And so Lazarus came forward out of the grave, proving that Jesus brings dead things to life. One thing I love about this story that kind of makes it real, and it's like, yeah, I can identify with that. Maybe you identify with this too. Both Martha, who we read, and we didn't read Mary's response, but it was exactly the same. The first thing she said, both of the ladies, almost word for word, when they saw Jesus for the first time in this context was, Lord, if you had just been here, Lazarus wouldn't have died. If you had just been here, Lazarus wouldn't have died. Neither of them said, but you could raise him from the dead. Would you do that? That'd be cool. Could you raise him from the dead? The thought is, or the idea is, and maybe you've had this thought, yeah, we've seen you heal people, and we know you can do that, but there's some stuff that's even too hard for you. There's some stuff that's even too big for you. And maybe that's what you think this morning. It's like, yeah, preacher, that sounds great. You know, this, you know, life from death. And, you know, it's Easter. You're supposed to say that. And, yeah, you can be dead in your doubts and dead in your discouragement. And, but you don't know my issue. Yeah, you don't know my thing. It might work for other people, but you don't know my situation. You might talk about, yeah, Jesus can bring new life to a broken relationship. But, God, you don't know what my husband did to me. You don't know what my wife said to me just yesterday. You don't know what she said. You don't know how far away my kids have and I have grown. You don't know. And what you're basically saying is, yeah, you could heal some things, Jesus, but yeah, this one probably too hard for you. My situation is too hopeless. Really? Lazarus was in the grave 4 days. He stinketh. Okay, his situation was bad. It was as hopeless as they come. And friends, if the resurrection and the life can bring Lazarus from the dead, he can do anything. He can bring whatever is dead in your life to life as well. If God can defeat death, if Jesus can defeat death, if he can call a dead guy that's been in the tomb for 4 days out, he can also bring to life whatever is dead inside of you. Whether it's you're dead in your doubts or your discouragement or in the delay or in the fear or whatever your situation is, Jesus is the resurrection and the life. See, the reality is just a few days, maybe weeks later, we don't know the exact time frame, but Jesus will be arrested. He'll be crucified on a cross. And he'll be put in one of those tombs just like Lazarus had been put in. Same kind of rock is going to be rolled over that entrance. And people are going to lose hope. All those people that thought that he was the Messiah, that thought he was going to change things, that thought everything was going to be different, now they're discouraged. They're doubtful. It's like, well, we thought we understood, but he's dead. He's in the tomb. And maybe you feel like that again this morning. You feel dead in your doubts, your discouragement. You just don't understand. And in the same way that when Jesus came to the tomb of Lazarus, there was something dead in there. He said, roll away the tomb. In the same way, on that first Easter morning, the ladies were going to the tomb to anoint Jesus' dead, what they thought was going to be his dead body with spices so he wouldn't stinketh quite so much, right? They were going to try to preserve his body out of respect to him. They were wondering along the way. They said, yeah, but who's going to move the stone? Because dead things were inside that, and they knew they weren't strong enough to move the stone. The reality is this morning, Jesus, in both cases, he moved the stone. He took care of moving the stone. In the same way that he looks into the tomb of Lazarus to call out that dead person, he is looking into your life and into your heart, and he is calling out, come out of your doubt. Come out of your discouragement. Come out of your fear. Come out of whatever is dead inside of you. I want to breathe life into you because I am the resurrection and the life. Dead things do not stay dead around Jesus, because Jesus brings dead things to life. And the question is, just like he asked Martha, do you believe this? Would you pray with me? God, thank you so much for loving us enough not to leave us dead, for making a way through
what Jesus did on the cross, but not just on the cross, but when he conquered the grave by him demonstrating once and for all that he is the resurrection and the life, tells us for sure that he can handle whatever it is in our life that is killing us, whatever in our life that is deadening our heart. God, I pray that you would speak to the person who is just drowning in their doubt this morning, drowning in their discouragement. Their life is not what they wanted it to be, and they see no way out. God, I pray that you would soften their heart, that you would allow them to hear your voice this morning saying, come out. Come out and be made alive. That's the invitation that you give to each one of us every day through Jesus. We pray it. Amen.